Hi there, I'm Brian Cheng, and you're listening to The Suburbs on 2SER.
No!
Oh, wrong show. Oh, this is, you're listening to Eat, Eat, Eat. Okay.
So, but you're going to have to, our international fans.
Our new fans.
New fans.
Okay,
so. Tell them about our past.
Okay, this sounds really sordid.
This is actually just an episode where Brian and I dissect our relationship on live podcast.
Yeah, anyway, so Tim and I initially had a radio show on we had a couple of radio shows on 2SER, which is a community radio station in Sydney, and one of those shows was called The Suburbs, and it was about examining a suburb in Sydney, the things you could eat there and the activities or interesting places to visit, a bit about the history. I thought that we through that process, we never ever talked about the suburbs that we grew up in.
No, and so, suburbs we grew up in, and we ended up living together in a suburb that means a lot to us. I got to say, just a bit of a throwback to this radio segment. Incredible intro for a community radio show by Anthony Bourdain.
Yeah.
Introducing it. How did that happen again? I think we mentioned this in a previous episode, but you ran into him at a signing or something? What was it?
Yeah, so it was a Sydney Writers Festival talk that he was at. And so we lined up it was probably about half an hour to get a book signed. And I think, I don't know, I had like a box of baklava with me for some reason. So I wrote what he had to say for the intro for the radio show.
Did you give him the baklava?
I think I offered it to him, maybe.
Was he interested?
No, not particularly. I explained to him why I wanted him to do the intro, and he was like kind of caring, but not really. He was really tired, I think. But
yeah,
he was just like,
enough.
Yeah, that sounds right. And he did it, and it was amazing.
So yeah.
We'll post it. But it's I think the year anniversary of his death. So, he's still a huge figure. And as I said, a big inspiration for me.
Yeah.
Thanks to Uncle Tony for doing that introduction.
Yeah, and it really made it, you know, I had such an incredible time doing that segment. I don't think I'd ever really talked so much about food. I always loved food. We talked about it just hanging out. And then I think the thing that kind of took my love of food to a next level was Sydney's suburbs, actually. And, you know, the different cultures and the different foods you could get. I didn't have that much of the culture and food in the suburb that I grew up in, to be completely honest. Like in the suburb of Pymble, how would you describe Pymble as an outsider?
Went to some good house parties there.
Yeah, there are some houses.
Some big houses.
There are some big houses, and there are big wide streets.
There's that one restaurant that like always seems to kill people.
Oh, yes, the rotating like restaurant of shame on the Pacific Highway.
Yeah, there's that. Yeah, that's about it.
There's a few restaurants. There is a German place that has been there. That is like the one like institution in West Pymble.
I
can't remember the name of it, but like he's been there for years, you know, serving up German delights. So I think that's still there. But yeah, so I guess before we started exploring Sydney suburbs, I didn't really know that was much of a thing, that, you know, suburbs could be such a place of food and place of culture and coming together. Because I grew up in a place where you did exactly the opposite of that, is that you go into your house, you don't hang out with other people. There was once a really hilarious, like the Batuta Advocate, which is like a satirical newspaper. I'm sure you've read or heard, and they've got a podcast and stuff now. Drank their beer. But they one of their earliest articles that I just had me laughing for about an hour was, they always seem to do stuff that is so niche, but it just seems to connect with you. But they had one that was like about a French backpacker who got lost in Pymble for 5 days because no one would give him directions. And it just, growing up there, it's a beautiful place. You know, there are, you know, I'm very lucky to have lived in such a, you know, safe area.
Very leafy.
Very leafy. But the whole thing about like that thing, you kind of, as you're walking down the streets, you're not there to make friends. You're there to mind your own business. And, so yeah, I guess, yeah, then we started to explore suburbs together. But
wait, didn't you always, I remember you talking about Pho Noodle House.
Fur Noodle House, yeah, but that was in Concord.
But you traveled there.
Yeah, we would, yeah, that was, you know, we would go to places, other suburbs, and yeah. I kind of got an idea that of that.
That counts.
Yeah, but that wasn't my home. Mm. I didn't really. What about you? Did your childhood involve, you know, lots of food and culture outside of the house?
So, yeah, we grew up in Carlingford, which is, kind of near Parramatta. I guess it's like half an hour away from the city. So, I mean, in the local area, it was, yeah, pretty stock standard neighborhood. There were like, yeah, Italian restaurants. We used to go to Black Stump. Do you remember Black Stump?
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
For a steak?
Yeah, and you get the 2-for-1 deals on the back of the supermarket receipt.
I'm sure your dad loved that.
Yeah, it's probably the only reason why we went.
Loves a deal.
Yeah, it's where it's at.
I'm sure my dad would have been keeping his eye out for that. He probably saw that and was like, why isn't there a Black Stuff in Pinball?
pretty stock standard. But then I guess my fondest memories is like some of these kind of suburban adventures where we would go to typically places where we could find Chinese vegetables and Chinese groceries. So that was places like Flemington. And then we probably didn't venture to Ashfield, but probably Parramatta. I really have really strong memories of kind of going to Flemington markets, the fresh food markets. And I don't know, is it, I don't remember this is even correct, but a guy saying $2 for mushy mushy mushrooms. That's what I remember. it's an odd, strong memory of mine. But yeah, going to Flemington.
This was your dad, you know, when you went for breakfast in the morning, charging you.
Yeah, clearly. so going to Flemington and eating and kind of exploring the suburbs there. And then I guess as we got older, going to Eastwood, which, yeah, we've spent time in and recorded podcasts at. And that was a real incredible kind of suburban food experience with a real variety and a real atmosphere. So
I guess I do remember now, like, you know, I'm reminding myself I wasn't always like someone who was craving going to get like Vietnamese and Canley Vale, like to go on these big adventures. I do remember like as a child my exciting adventure being going one suburb across to Gordon.
Oh.
And they used to have an all-you-can-eat Pizza Hut.
I was just about to say that.
And which I think famously shut down because children would not stop putting their hands into like the jello. They have those pizza, all-you-can-eat Pizza Hut would have like just the vat of tiny processed jello.
Yep.
And it, you know, it's exactly what a child wants to put their hand in. It's in, to be honest, it's a shame that in this day and age, like that there's the era of the all-you-can-eat Pizza Hut is shutting down. Are there any left?
I think maybe one. I think they tried to reboot it in a trendy style. But, you know, I think that's what modern society needs. It needs a little bit more salmonella. Maybe not as much as what was in most Pizza Huts in the 1990s, but just a little bit more. But yeah, I have super fond memories of where was it? It would have been Pizza Hut at North Rocks. And yeah, the pasta with the bolognese and obviously the all-you-can-eat pizza. And using like the soft serve machine and making like a giant soft serve. And then my favorite thing was at the very end is you'd mix everything you had into one bowl. Or actually just mixing all the dessert things into one bowl and making like a slurry. Actually, I remember doing that at Yum Cha when I was a kid too. Maybe that was like the start of my cooking endeavors, is just mixing all the different liquids and sauces and foods into one bowl at the end and making someone eat it.
And then it would just always get interrupted by a guy who was like, $2, mushy. No, see, I can't do it. If I do it and I put on the accent, it's racism.
That's right. Yeah.
So let's stop there.
No, but it was, I imagine it was like a white guy or a Lebanese guy doing it. So it's fine. It's probably more appropriate for you to do it.
Now, and I guess we did end up in chapter two, or this is probably chapter, like a few chapters later in our life, we ended up living together.
Yeah.
In Ashfield. Mm. I don't know. Why did we pick Ashfield?
I don't know. Where were you living at the time? I was at home in Carlingford.
Yeah. I'd been either in Pymble or hovering around, sleeping on friends' couches around the Inner West. So
why did we choose Ashfield? I don't know. Maybe it was because of the food.
Maybe it was because of the food. I think we both had an interest and we didn't...
It was Inner West.
Inner West, but we always... I think I've always had a desire to be that little bit different.
Yeah. And we didn't want something... Yeah. Not conventionally Inner West. So we didn't want to go to like Newtown or something.
No.
Yep.
You know, and got quick trains into the city. But the main reason, I think, was the, you know, the wide variety of great restaurants, cheap grocers. And I think that's something, you know, for us is more important than, was more exciting than, you know, cool bars or cafes at the time. We were both getting really into food and...
Asian people exercising in the park.
Yeah. Culture. Again, like...
Blood circulation.
For me, like coming from the, you know, from Pleasantville, I hadn't seen people slowly walking around a park slapping their thighs.
Backwards,
yeah. So, but this was... Yeah, it is weird thinking about that suburb and why I always look back at it so fondly. And I'm just like, what was it about that suburb that made it a good suburb to live in?
I think it had a real mix. Like you had, like, I think we were on the kind of whitish side. There were still kind of more established families and kind of more conventional kind of Californian bungalows.
Mm.
And that had a really nice vibe. There were some kind of halfway homes.
A lot of boarding houses.
Yeah, a lot of boarding houses. So you had a real diversity. And then on the other side, the northern side, I guess. No, the southern side, sorry. The southern side of Ashfield Station. And that's where the kind of the bustling kind of
Mini Shanghai.
Yeah, mini Shanghai was happening. So I think that was really special. And then like really awesome random things like the Polish Club.
The Polish Club is, I haven't been. It is, I know it's still there. I don't know if it's changed much, but I have such this vivid memory of that place. And I went and ate at the restaurant and got some Polish food.
Mm.
And like seeing the door, like the doors, they have like a hall there.
Oh yeah.
And the doors kind of like opened up and I just saw the image of like 50 elderly Polish couples slow dancing.
That's the best.
And I was like, this is why I've chosen to live in this suburb.
That's because
this is what I craved all these years, is to see culture and see different people and not everyone who just looks like me.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so it was just like, and I have other, like also in Ashfield, like on our side that we lived in, there was something so weird. There's like a convenience store that is like a Polish convenience store that was run by Chinese immigrants to Australia. Like it's still, they still like clearly were like, oh, we should keep, you know, it once was a Polish suburb and but it's so lovely that like, you know, someone from a different nationality has taken over that shop and gone, no, but I have to keep selling the, like, you know, pickles and everything. So, it's just, a real melting pot, I think, of different cultures. And, I'm just, what a joy to live in that suburb.
Mm. Another really great illustration of that kind of, mashup, for want of a bit of a term, or assimilation. It was the corner cafe near the station. It used to be a milk bar, but now it's like a Malaysian street food place. But it still looks like a milk bar. I forget what it was called, but they would do like nasi lemak and char kway teow.
Weren't they like top chefs in Malaysian hotels? It's like the a husband and wife duo, top chefs in Malaysian hotels, decide to have a, you know, change of scenery into Australia.
Yep.
And I always remember you were like, we've got to go there because they're cooking up like amazing nasi lemak, and all they've done is they've replaced the deep fryers with wok burners.
Yeah.
And we went there and it was exact. They even left the old prices up for the like fish and chips shop that it used to be.
So good.
And that is my dream is like just that melting pot of cultures. Like you could still see that old Australiana there, but then the new wave of immigrants that has come in and like brought more life to that suburb was, you know, it was all just coming together while we were there.
Yeah.
And so I guess like what are the good characteristics? Like I'm still trying to work it out, like of what, you know, that suburb had life, it had diversity, it was accessible, you could still get to other places really quickly. But like, what do you think makes a good suburb?
Yeah, I think, I think it obviously depends on your life stage. I think accessibility in general is really important. Like my first psychology lecture at university, like Psych 104, was talking about the nature of attraction. And I guess this is not exactly about attraction, but it's similar to that. But it's about proximity. Like, it's an essential human desire to have things that are close and convenient. And they're the things that we're most likely to adhere towards or take a liking to. So I think having a suburb that's in a proximal location to where you work or where you have leisure or whatever the case may be is important. But also having proximity to things that you love to do in your life. So whether that's sports or food or other things, then I think that's really important. But I think, and also maybe coming back to what we said about what we talked about last episode, that sense of connection, I think, is really important. And a sense of lack of pretension. I think what makes some suburbs a little bit suffocating and what makes people's mental health suffer is that sense that, you know, you could be living in a beautiful house in a beautiful suburb, but you're still feeling isolated, even though there's lots of people around. So I think getting a true sense of people, and if that's, you know, Polish ladies dancing, or if that's Chinese women in the park, you know, doing their blood circulation exercises, to me that speaks to their true nature and allows me to kind of fully see who they are. And it's unadorned. There's no pretense.
I do remember living in a suburb like Ashfield, and I had no fear of what I looked like or what I wore or who I was at any point. I would just like go down to the shops and be me. And I've since been in other areas where image is such an important thing. Like I recently, you know, moved back to the North Shore of Sydney, which is, you know, a very wealthy area and is very image based. It's you know, people are worried, like they pick the right, they got to pick the correct brand of car to fit in, and there's private schools. And it was so strange. Like I've been living overseas in areas where it didn't matter what you look like and I remember just walking down to the local shops, and I just pulled together a classic me outfit, which is often a mismatch of clothes, but that didn't bother me. But I remember just seeing people looking at me like staring, like, did you just rob my house sort of vibes. And it was just this real, like, that's when I was like, oh yeah, this isn't my area. Because like, yeah, this, maybe there is a bit of pretension there and like doing something different on something is, but while like, yeah, like you're saying in Asheville, there's just, I don't know if it's like that there is just such a diversity of cultures, and it means that people are inherently different anyway. But I never at one point like questioned who I was in that suburb, or like was like, oh, like I should dress differently because to make sure I fit in or something like that. So yeah, I think that's, I agree with that. Like a good suburb for me is somewhere that, yeah, there is a diverse variety of people. So at least there is difference, and that, you know, you're not feeling the pressure to be the same as everyone else. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was doing a little bit of research and got a shout out to The Conversation, which is a online news service, I guess, but it's run in conjunction with all the universities. And basically it's a way for lecturers and academics to write in a more popular format, but it's just like my favorite news source. So they had some really interesting articles about the suburbs. One particular article from a lecturer at University of Queensland talked about why outer suburbs lack the independent owner-operated retail businesses that characterize gentrifying inner-city suburbs like the one we're in. And we haven't mentioned that we're in Enmore, which is a really cool kind of inner-city suburb, but still has a lot of character.
Yeah.
But basically, this article was saying that I guess a lot of these inner-city kind of hipster suburbs or suburbs with a lot of community, they have bars, cafes, and boutiques that could be considered to be something called the third place, which is basically a place that is between work and home. And that's what kind of typifies a place that has a sense of community. And obviously it's difficult for the outer suburbs to support places like this because they don't have the foot traffic, they don't have the density of population to be able to survive.
People might be leaving to get to work earlier and they're not going, I'm going to go get a coffee before work because they're leaving at 6:30 in the morning to get into the city. So.
Yeah, so I guess this is the core kind of dilemma of the outer suburbs. And I guess, yeah, this concept of the third place really kind of reminds me of a psychological concept of the third place, which is having a place between work and home where you can de-stress, where you can have a mindful moment, where you can not go straight from one environment of obligation and duty to the other, and you can kind of decompress. So again, another important point about having aspects to a suburb where you can de-stress and, you know, engage in pleasant activities. And as I said, that's the challenge of the outer suburbs. How do we create that kind of sense of well-being and environments for well-being in those suburbs?
But that's not saying that, like, you know, there are a lot of outer, you know, suburbs that are a longer commute to a city center, say in Sydney, that I feel have so much character and culture. I'm just thinking, you know, even like the Black Towns and the Bankstowns and the Auburns, you know, they still are like, sometimes I feel a suburb is far enough away that it needs to develop, you know, people aren't, if they want to go to a cafe, then they're not going to be able to commute because it's just too hard to get somewhere. Like, I guess Auburn's a good example. It's just like its own little city. And maybe if it was in a different country, it would be its own city. I know Sydney is just kind of one of those cities. If you're one of our listeners from Georgia, Sydney is a ever expanding, like, what is considered to be Sydney, if it was in Georgia, it would be in completely different, like, you know, some suburbs would be their own city. And, you know, I think there are these outer suburbs of Sydney that sometimes just have their whole, their own life. And Auburn's a good example of that.
Yeah, and I think that's one of my favourite things about being in Sydney, is you can have that day trip, which is as good as a plane ticket. To Cabramatta for Vietnamese, or to Auburn for, you know, Lebanese and other Middle Eastern treats.
Or there's, you know, your Sri Lankan areas, your Indian areas. Yeah, Sydney, I think we've mentioned this before and maybe on the podcast, but you're spoilt for cultural day trips if you love exploring different cultures and eating, you know, different foods. Then Sydney is the kind of perfect place to do that.
And there was a really good article also on The Conversation about these, I guess, these ethnic suburbs and how important they are for the local community, because they have their own identity. They also have their own network of services, and they serve as an entry point, a gateway suburb for new migrants, so that they feel comfortable and they feel like they can make connections and build their life here. And actually, that's starting to become a bit of a risk because these suburbs are getting more and more expensive, and certain kind of migration policies are changing that pathway into these gateway suburbs. So we're in danger of perhaps losing some of these gateway suburbs or these amazing ethnic suburbs. So it's I think it's something that we should be mindful of and I guess continue to visit on a regular basis. I think food is such a wonderful inn to, or it's such a good reason to visit those suburbs, because it's so immersive. It's you know, you go down the street and you don't hear a word of English. It's a really immersive experience.
And then it's great though, because you can go to, you won't hear a word of English, and you'll go into a Vietnamese bakery and you'll, you know, order a banh mi, and the guy will be speaking in the kitchen, you know, in Vietnamese, and then he'll turn to you and be like, oh, good, eh?
Yeah.
And it's like, this is like, I'm like, oh yeah, that's, this is why I love Australia. Yep. Like this, like, incredible, like, I guess Lim's Hot Bread in Eastwood, which, you know, gets a lot of shout outs. But his accent always just, like, every time he speaks to me, because he won't hear him speaking much English.
Yeah.
And then he'll just see you and go, oh, good day, mate.
Yeah.
And you're just like, I'm like, oh, hello, Lim, my best mate.
Yeah.
Like, it's so good. If you were to, okay, here's a, this is what we used to do on our radio show, is we'd take people on, you know, a bit of a suburb guide. You know, where in Sydney, you know, where, like, if people want a good, you know, a good food adventure and they have no idea where to start, what, like, let's give, like, a little bit of a quick synopsis of, like, suburbs you can go to, you know, what you should do there. Like, we just mentioned, you know, Auburn, if you love, you know, Lebanese food.
Yeah, I mean, the beauty of Sydney is that even when you go to a suburb that is known for one cuisine, you're still going to get a nice variety. So even in Auburn, you know, there's good, like, Uyghur, like, northwestern Chinese food. And I think there's, yeah.
There's Indian, I think, as yeah. well, yeah.
So you're always going to get a great range. But yeah, Auburn is a great first stop. You can visit the mosque there as well. I think they do a thing on Anzac Day, maybe. Yeah, but yeah, it's certainly a special time. Maybe even around Ramadan. Or I guess Lakemba is a great
yeah,
option.
Yeah, another great option.
The Ramadan night markets there are really amazing. Where else? I really like Bankstown. Primarily for Bankstown Sports Club.
Yeah, can you just give us explain your love affair with the Bankstown Sports Club? Because I still haven't been, and it sounds...
Oh, really?
Like,
holy crap.
Is it the closest thing I can get to a cruise ship
yes.
on land?
Definitely. So it's just like a big sports club, RSL club. It's got like an indoor rainforest. It's got a bistro that's inside a train. it's got an Italian piazza. It's got... Now it's got a brewery.
What?
Yeah. Heaps of pokies. What else?
If that's your thing. Yeah.
Is that your thing? I think they've got a place called Chang's Kitchen.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And you, Chang's do you Kitchen. Eat for free?
I hope so. yeah, so Bankstown Sports Club is really good for that. And then also in Bankstown is really good Vietnamese food. But you can also pick up like baklava and stuff for quite cheap.
I guess we also mentioned before Canley Vale and Cabramatta.
Yep.
There for Vietnamese, that's probably Canley. I'd say Canley Vale is one of your best bets. It's. I remember we went on a suburb adventure there and ate the...
A balut.
Balut, the fertilized duck.
Yes.
Embryo. I don't know if I'd necessarily recommend that as your suburb adventure. It was a cultural experience.
Yes.
And my libido was raging afterwards.
You didn't tell me that.
No, time. No. But I was, wow. Because that's apparently one of the benefits of that. But I'm just saying this for humor.
Mm.
I promise. But yeah, that suburb was just fascinating. I felt I had never been to Vietnam before. And I was like, oh, maybe this is what Vietnam's like.
Yeah, I think it's... It's a pretty good indication. I've not been to Vietnam either, but from all indications and reviews, it's pretty amazing. And it's, yeah, I mean, Cabramatta is obviously the biggest hub there, but Canley Vale and Canley Heights gives you a more, more condensed and perhaps a less busy version. But yeah, hit Cabra first because it is phenomenal.
Hmm. And you can do, I think, have we gone out for African food? I think Blacktown has... good Ethiopian, I believe. Like again, you can just keep exploring around Sydney and you'll find more and more areas. You know, your Harris Parks for Indian.
So good.
Toongabi around that area for Sri Lankan as well. Yep. Sri Lankan and Indian. So
and then obviously all the inner city districts as well, like we referred to last time. So there's Koreatown,
Thai Town.
Well, there's gotta be another town that's popped up.
Chinatown, obviously. There's a lot of Filipino food and stuff out there now. And just around the corner from where we're recording in Enmore, I noticed there's a it's called Chebu, which is
Filipino
restaurant. And so yeah, get out there, explore, because if you know, if you're listening to this and you live in Sydney and you're a little bit like bit over Sydney, because that can happen. You can fall into your bubble, just jump on a train for half an hour somewhere and go and have an experience. And every time I get a little bit like down on Sydney or I'm craving a adventure, you can do it in on a weekend. Any weekend in Sydney, you'll go and have the time of your life. So
it's one of those cities, right? It has a way of kind of like beating you down and then just like giving you a complete gem that kind of lifts you up for a while before beating you down again. So,
and that doesn't even have to be like a food gem. It's like you'll find this weird little swimming pool that's like on the harbor that there's no one swimming in. Or you'll find a walk that has the most pristine view and, you know, you'll be like, oh God, I want to leave this place. And then you just, I'm going to go for a walk somewhere. And you're like, what is this? Like, how do we find, you know, it's constantly keeping you like, attached to it somehow. It's like a terrible partner that you want to leave, but then they cook you a delicious dinner every now and then. You go, damn it, like how could I leave this?
I think maybe it was on one of Bourdain's shows, and it was he was talking to Matt Preston from of MasterChef fame, and Matt Preston was taking him around Melbourne, and Preston said that Sydney is like the platinum blonde bombshell with big chest
and I think bazookas is the term.
Is kind of like kind of glitzy but a little bit kind of
daft,
yeah, maybe. A bit daft maybe, but Melbourne is like the grungy kind of indie chick and that kind of is consistent with what we're talking about. I think Sydney gives you the highs of the highs, but then really can take you through some tricky territory and and make life difficult for you, but yeah, we love it nonetheless.
I'm getting a feeling we need to invent a utopia.
A utopian Sydney suburb.
Yes. Like, like we're saying, when we got the highs and the lows, I need a suburb where I just get the highs and the highs all the time. And it doesn't leave me wanting to escape, because I don't want to be running overseas again, Brian, for the sake of the podcast.
That's true.
So let's invent a podcast. Not invent a podcast. We've already done that. Invent a Sydney suburb.
Okay. Is it like a mashup of all the other suburbs Sydney? So let's choose the characteristics of certain suburbs that can all be mashed into one. Okay. So first was like location. What's a perfect location?
15 minutes from the city.
Okay.
So not too close to the city, but easy access to it.
Okay.
It's on the beach. Okay. I'm sorry, I've just added that in.
So it's kind of like Bondi Junction area.
But it's not Bondi Junction, because Bondi Junction is a hellhole.
Okay.
But yeah, if we could, let's knock down Bondi Junction and we're going to build this there.
Okay.
So we got quick access to the beach, quick access to the city. What are like the restaurants? What are the shops? What do we need? Asian grocers?
Yep, definitely Asian grocers. Definitely access to like Asian barbecue.
Yeah.
Like all your roasted meats. A great bakery.
Yeah. We need Lim's Hot Bread to open up your second chain there. We need some weird, like at least one or two businesses that we're going, how does this place stay open? Like we need like the Olympia Milk Bar on Stanmore Road, you know, like something that has so much character.
Yep.
But you're questioning about whether or not it's a front. I don't want like a utopia in terms of like we're all making money, like that's in an ideal world, but you need some places that have character. You need some weird, like where we are in Enmore at the moment, I just walked before, there's just a shop that just sells secondhand fridges and I've never seen anyone go in there. It's a little bit like The Wire. Proposition Joe runs a clock. I need a clock shop where you see some sketchy looking characters going in and out of there.
All right, well, let's put one of them in there.
What else do we need?
Some nice parks, obviously.
Parks. Oh, bars and pubs. Like, we need like an 1800s pub.
Yep.
I don't know how we can build a fake, a very convincing fake.
Yep.
Brewery. Brewery, putt-putt course.
Putt-putt is essential.
And a sports team.
Yeah. What's that sport which is like Irish Gaelic football.
Our town is known for Gaelic football. Our suburb. And what's it called? One, two, three. Dumplingville.
Dumplingville is good.
Dumplingville is nice.
Not Dumpville.
Dumptown. 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 It keeps the house prices down.
Maybe it's Dumptown?
Dumptown. It's German. Hallo. Willkommen zum Dumptown.
Yeah, I think that gives it a certain charm.
Yeah. Okay. So it's a
garbage charm.
It's a German town famous for its Asian grocers.
Putt-putt golf.
And you can do some dodgy business by visiting the local fridge store.
Yep.
Done.
Easy.
Where now, if you would like to buy into Dumptown.
Dumptown.
We are building apartment buildings that will last you at least 2 years before they crack.
That seems reasonable.
Yeah. And then we will not pay for you any compensation once it starts to crack and fall down.
Yeah, that's less reasonable.
So
that's fine. I'm sure we'll get some people.
Yeah. So if you're interested, follow us on Instagram, eat podcast, and Facebook, eat. Thanks so much for listening. Come visit us in Dumptown, and we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.